There's a saying by George Carlin, inside every cynical person is a disappointed idealist. And it sounds poetic, but it's really just a courteous way of saying this person cared once and the world kicked them in the teeth for it. Now, I should probably give you my disclaimer before going any further. My concept of cynicism here is more aligned with realism, something I call cynical realism, which isn't the stereotypical negative definition of cynicism. I see cynicism as a spectrum. And in this video, philosophically, I believe realism is ultimately what happens to the type of cynic who is a disappointed idealist. So I don't see cynicism as a personality flaw, not the kind of cynical realism I want to discuss. It's emotional scar tissue. It's what happens when you believed people were good and they turned out to be marketing departments with legs. Now, to me, seeing the world for what it is actually empowering, but it's also lonely. You don't feel like you woke up. You feel like you walked in on your parents faking their marriage for the tax benefits. Now, people like to think that cynics are angry and irritable, but most of us are just tired. If you know, you know. We're tired of pretending that the ubiquitous version of Pollyanna sincerity still has a seat at the table. And you spend your youth believing there's some moral operating system that runs the world, and that decency pays off, and truth matters, and karma has a calendar. And then adulthood hits. Then you realize the universe is more of a, like a Windows 95 situation. It's glitchy as hell, outdated. It's full of error messages, but everyone's still acting like it's the latest model. And of course, you believed hard work would be rewarded. But instead, you watch the guy who spent the day forwarding memes get promoted because he just fit the culture better. And you believe love was sacred. And then you saw people treat it like a limited time offer on Tinder or whatever. You also believed honesty was noble, right? Until you learn that transparency is just what companies say before the layoffs come. That's how cynicism starts. Not as rage so much as exhaustion. It's a kind of moral fatigue that sets in after one too many broken promises. Now, Schopenhauer said life swings like a pendulum between pain and boredom. He wrote this way back in the 1800s, before meetings as we know them existed, which means he didn't even see the half of it. And then Nietzsche came along a little later, and he pointed out that when God dies, we just replace him with self-help gurus and CEOs. So people didn't stop worshiping. They just reimagined it. So now salvation comes with a subscription fee and a motivational quote in the footer. And Camus, poor Camus, she tried to make sense of it all by saying that we should imagine Sisyphus happy. Which, of course, sounds beautiful until you realize he's describing a man who found enlightenment while doing endless unpaid overtime. And for those who don't know, Sisyphus is that guy who is doomed to push a rock up a hill over and over again for all eternity. I remember when the idealist in me started to crack. I was in my mid to late 20s, working one of my various shitty low-paying service industry jobs. Fluorescent lights, coffee that tasted like despair, coworkers who used the word synergy like it actually meant something. And my boss gave this speech about motivation, which basically meant doing the same thing, but pretending you actually loved it. And then people nodded and took notes, and there was some half-hearted applause. And I realized this is what adulthood is. It's endless bullshit applause for things no one really believes. Now, that's the first real symptom of cynical realism. Clarity. You start seeing the machinery behind the smiles. And once you've seen it, well, you can't unsee it. You start noticing the all the rehearsed language, the performative empathy. You notice the way every act of kindness comes with a marketing angle. And it's not necessarily that the world is evil. It's just lazy. Too lazy to be good. Too self-interested to be honest. When I was younger, I thought wisdom would make me feel competent and just somehow strong. But the truth is, awareness doesn't really feel like power. It feels more like exile. You can't join in the pep rallies anymore because you know the mascot's been laid off. And you can't chant the slogans because you can see the fine print underneath. Not to mention it's just cringy as hell. That's what it means to be a cynic. You stop being able to participate in the endless delusion that keeps everyone else in their comfort zone. And you start laughing instead. And not because it's actually funny, but because it's just too absurd not to. The thing about seeing the world with clarity is that it ruins your social life. Not that you had much of one to begin with. Well, I didn't anyway. So you don't get invited to many dinner parties when your resting expression says, "Oh, I see through all this bullshit." And it's not that you hate people. You just can't stand the performance of it anymore. All the bad acting. And everyone's playing a role. You've just forgotten your lines. you sit in a room full of people talking about, I don't know, goals and 5-year plans or whatever, and you're the only one wondering what any of it's actually for or why it even matters. And you start to realize that the language of modern life isn't designed for truth and honesty. It's designed for plausible deniability. Most people aren't trying to find meaning. They're just trying to find distraction, which is plentiful nowadays. Something just respectable enough to make their avoidance look productive. Charles Bukowski once wrote, "People are strange. They are constantly angered by trivial things, but on a major matter like totally wasting their lives, they hardly seem to notice." Now, that's the root of cynicism. It's not bitterness, but observation fatigue. Watching people lose their souls politely, one direct deposit at a time. So you start feeling like you're on a different frequency altogether. You're tuned into a station where the static actually makes some sense somehow. And you see how easily people trade their integrity for comfort. Now, every so-called dream job comes with a built-in muzzle. How a modern community is too often just a focus group in disguise. And the irony is that once you stop pretending, you become the dishonest one. Now, people say stuff like, "Well, you've changed," when what they really mean is, "You've stopped lying with us." This is, you know, cynicism is lonely because it's a kind of sobriety. Everyone else is drunk on false hope or high on faux self-improvement, hallucinating meaning in things that are clearly shallow. And you're the one standing in the middle of the party, like an idiot with a glass of water and a somewhat confused expression, whispering, "You guys know this isn't real, right?" And that's the moment when they start calling you negative. As if noticing the fire makes you responsible for it. And if you say something honest, people act like you farted at a funeral. They don't get that cynicism. It isn't about despair. It's about accuracy and perspective. You're not trying to ruin the mood, of course. You're just refusing to contribute to the delusion. And unfortunately, there's a price to pay for that. Kurt Vonnegut said, "The insane, on occasion, are not without their charms." And well, maybe that's why cynics seem so unhinged to everyone else. Because sanity in this world requires a certain level of delusion. Pretend long enough, and you start mistaking denial for optimism. But there's a strange comfort in being the one who sees. It's not happiness exactly. It's more like relief. You realize that Everyone's selling something, even if it's just an image of themselves. And when you finally stop buying, you're free. But it's a quiet kind of freedom, the kind that doesn't come with a refund. And Emil Cioran, ever the cheerful one, he wrote, "The fact that life has no meaning is a reason to live. Moreover, the only one." That's the cruel beauty of disillusionment, because once you've stripped the world of meaning, you're free to live without apology. You stop looking for purpose, and you start noticing the absurd poetry in just surviving it. Because the cynic isn't really dead inside. They're just tired. They're the emotional equivalent of a burned out star. Still glowing, but only because they once burned a little too brightly. And the loneliness doesn't come from lack of company. It comes from a lack of honesty. You can be surrounded by people and still feel like a ghost at your own funeral. You talk, but no one's really listening. They're just waiting for their turn to recite the next line from their script. And the more you see, the less you want to participate. You can't unhear the gears grinding behind the curtain. And you can't laugh at the jokes once you realize they're just part of the distraction. So you become quiet. And if you're an introvert, all of this is even more pronounced. Not bitter quiet, though. Just tired quiet. You develop that faint half smile that says, "Yeah, I've been paying attention." And people mistake it for arrogance when really it's just resignation. So it's a weird thing being a realist cynic. You feel out of sync with the entire species, but somehow you're more in tune with reality. Like you're the only sober one in a world drunk on its own reflection. And you learn to keep your insights to yourself because people don't actually want any truth. They just want reassurance. They want the illusion that the system still works, that love is forever, that happiness is a goal instead of an accident, and that they have control over everything. And you poor bastard, you still want to believe it too. But once your eyes adjust to the light, the old illusions just stop fitting. And that's the part that no one tells you about waking up. You don't feel particularly enlightened. You just feel homesick. And you miss the old, comfortable ignorance. You know, the blissful ignorance, the blissful haze of believing in things. And you miss being part of the chorus, even if the song was stupid. You miss the comfort of not knowing any better. Because once you see the cracks in everything, it's hard not to stare. And after a while, the silence of knowing becomes its own kind of noise. I think the loneliest part about seeing the world clearly is realizing how few people actually want to. You'd think seeing truth would bring people together. Like, hey, we all notice the emperor's naked, right? But no. Most people will just tell you to stop staring, or worse, accuse you of being the problem for pointing it out. And, once you stop believing the collective fairy tales, you lose your citizenship in polite society. You can't unsee the advertising or the performance or the psychological manipulation dressed up as meaning. It's kind of like finally learning how a magic trick works and then having to watch everyone else still clap like idiots while the magician pockets all their wallets. And the thing is, cynics don't even want to be above it. There's no superiority in seeing clearly. It's not some enlightened state. It's just exhausting. You start noticing now everyone's buying hope wholesale at whatever markup the algorithm suggests. And you can't go back to pretending it's real. You try to talk about it, but most people don't want honesty. They just want comfort. And they'll call you negative because your realism doesn't match their branding. Meanwhile, their optimism is one overdraft away from a breakdown. But sure, you're the downer. So it's lonely because there's no applause for realism. There's no social reward for saying, actually, everything's kind of bullshit, but I'm managing. You don't get invited to brunch or whatever for that. You just sit there, surrounded by people discussing how gratitude journaling changed their vibration, and then you think, you know, maybe the apocalypse wouldn't be so bad. Cynicism is basically a social exile. You're fluent in a language that no one wants to hear. You can see the manipulation behind the smiles and the marketing behind the morals. And you can also see the transaction behind the kindness. And yet, you can't unlove the world either. That's the part that hurts the most. James Baldwin once said, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced." And that's exactly the cynic's dilemma. You see the flaws, and you see the hypocrisy and the emptiness, and you also know that pointing it out won't fix the world, but ignoring it would make you complicit. Because beneath the sarcasm, there's still that faint pulse of hope, the stupid, fragile human part that still wants to believe people are good deep down. That meaning can be real, and love isn't just mutual delusion with better lighting. But every time you start to believe again, you remember what happened the last time you did. Look, the world doesn't really like cynics, or at least a large part of it doesn't, and it never has, because cynics don't participate in the illusion. They're basically nonconformists. They won't clap at the ceremonial applause. They won't recite the slogans or pretend the latest motivational Instagram post solves structural collapse. And that's threatening to some people. Society doesn't see a realist. It sees a problem. And the cynic is the unwelcome mirror. And mirrors, as we all know, tend to shatter fragile egos. So you've probably heard phrases like, oh, you're too negative. You need to focus on the positive. Stop overthinking. Which translates to, stop noticing the cracks in the wallpaper. Stop questioning the play. Stop being inconvenient, etc., etc., ad nauseum. This is modern gaslighting in its purest form. It's not the dramatic or malicious kind you read about in self-help books, but the quiet social enforcement of the grand illusion. And you're told that your observations are a character flaw. And if you disagree, you're branded as a dirty little pessimist, a buzzkill, or worse, some kind of failure. Now, the optimists, or at least the ones performing optimism well enough, they get the trophies. And they usually get the promotions and the social validation. But you, well, you get a sideways glance and a considerate nod. And you get the subtle assumption that you're the problem. I mean, it's absurd when you think about it. Society seems to be terrified of people who notice reality. And by and large, we celebrate ignorance and we reward naivete. We market happiness like it's a product that you can just swipe for. And meanwhile, the people who see clearly, the realists, the skeptics, the cynics, they get told that they're ungrateful or just plain difficult. I like to see realist cynics as awkwardly, existentially charming. We're the only ones laughing at the absurdity while most folks are still pretending the emperor is fully dressed. The modern world has turned optimism into a religion, which in my book means it's a form of toxic positivity. It's a constant performative faith gaslighting you into submission. And cynics were the heretics. We don't kneel. We don't chant, nor do we accept the miracles on display. We ask questions, and we notice the cracks, and we don't care how ugly or dark the reality beyond the illusion appears. And sometimes we laugh or cringe a little inside at how everyone else is still paying tithes to the illusion. Because in this world, that rewards delusion. Clarity is like a radical act. So cynicism or cynical realism just gets a bad rap. People call it defeatism or bitterness. And they see the cynic and assume they've lost all hope, that they've stopped caring about anything. But that's the big misunderstanding, because cynicism is not the absence of hope. It's a refined form of realism. It's the recognition that the world doesn't care about your narrative arc or your carefully curated positive vibes. Cynicism is a reaction. It's a defensive reflex against the constant parade of toxic positivity, the constant pressure to feel grateful, to smile, to visualize success while everything around you collapses in slow motion. And it's a refusal to participate in the lie that everything is fine when it isn't. So in this sense, cynics are like rebels, though placid ones. We're not tearing the world down for sport. We're observing it honestly. And in that honesty, we find clarity and sometimes freedom, liberation. And we know that pretending everything is perfect doesn't fix a damn thing. We see the cracks in the system, the hypocrisy in the institutions. We see the absurdity in the human rituals. And we survive anyway. We survive by acknowledging the truth and refusing to lie to ourselves about it, however painful the consequences. And there's a strange kind of dignity in this. A cynic walks through life without illusions and without sugarcoating, without expecting the world to suddenly honor and reward your optimism. We don't get awards or any applause, but we do get the peace of knowing we are awake on a certain level. And in this world where delusion is rewarded, that's something. And it can be lonely, yes. And sometimes it is bitter, yes. But cynical realism at its core, it's not despair. Those are very different things. It's insight, and not the pretentious kind. Simply put, it's the courage to see clearly and keep living anyway. Keep going. I mean, look at it like realism with a side of dark humor. It's a way of existing without the pretense that everything will eventually work out. And In this way, I think it helps us appreciate the present moment much more, because we tend to have a deeper understanding that all we really have is now. So there's this hidden truth under every, well, under every cynic is a disappointed idealist, yes. But that cynic also carries the rarest gift in the modern world, which is the ability to face reality and just not flinch. And sometimes in that defiance, there's something almost beautiful happening, because laughing at the absurdity doesn't have to mean giving up. It means surviving and even, dare I say, thriving on a certain level. And it's survival with your eyes open, which is maybe the most radical act of all in these crazy times. Okay, I think that's all I have today. Thanks for watching.